These critics asked scientists to examine the film. Their conclusion? The film shows things that violate the laws of physics. For example, in one sequence, Secret Service agent Bill Greer, who is driving the limousine, turns his head from front to back in one frame, a physical impossibility. Others suggest that the images of the limousine and the bystanders simply don't match, suggesting that they were separated and rejoined, though it isn't clear to what effect. They point out that nearly all the witnesses reported the presidential car came to a stop on Elm Street just before the fatal headshot. However, the Zapruder film does not show the car coming to a stop. Critics of the Zapruder film hoax theory point out that none of this makes any sense. If you were going to go to the trouble to create a forgery of the film, why not try to alter the movement of the president's head back and to the left, which many believe is evidence of a shot from the front? Also, there was more than one copy of the Zapruder film. Before the film was turned over to Life magazine, the Secret Service made two copies. From one of those copies, the FBI made a copy. Perhaps even more copies were made. In addition to the Zapruder film, there are other films and photographs that include those 27 seconds. Conspirators risked exposure by making wholesale changes to the film. That's not to say there weren't some changes made to the film. Several frames were damaged or destroyed while the film was being analyzed. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover explained an oddity found in the Zapruder film in 1965 by saying frames have been reversed in a printing error. From the very beginning of the investigation into President Kennedy's murder, there have been reports of Lee Harvey Oswald popping up in places where he could not have been. He was seen at a rifle range, calling attention to himself by firing at other shooters' targets. He test drove a new car, bragging he was about to receive a large amount of money. Perhaps the witnesses who reported these events were mistaken. Perhaps it was someone who looked a lot like Oswald. It led some to speculate, however, that there were two identical young men who were being used as part of the plot. Researcher John Armstrong claimed there were, in fact, two different people. A Russian-speaking youth, possibly the child of Hungarian immigrants, who was called Harvey. The other Oswald, he says, was a taller but similar-looking young man with a southern U.S. accent, born as Lee Harvey Oswald, and who preferred to be called Lee. In Armstrong's rather bizarre account, both youths become entangled at an early age in an American intelligence operation designed to give a U.S. identity to a Russian-speaking child. Harvey was the Oswald who went to Russia and married Marina. Harvey was the one that was arrested and shot to death by Jack Ruby. And while it makes for a great spy thriller, it's hard to see how this would have worked in the real world. And when Oswald's body was exhumed from its grave in Fort Worth's Rose Hill Cemetery in 1980, the autopsy at Baylor Medical Center showed, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the body was that of Lee Harvey Oswald. Though many of these strange twists remain a mystery, is it possible that some of them have a logical explanation no one has yet stumbled across? Every so often, answers pop up that might explain at least some of the unexplainable. In the Oliver Stone film JFK, much is made about how quickly information about Oswald's background was released to the news media. The character based on Colonel Fletcher Prouty suggests it is evidence the conspirators wasted no time in framing their patsy. But not long ago, I learned of another possible explanation. In 2008, I met Eugene Methvin, who in 1963 was senior editor for Reader's Digest in Washington. He had corresponded in the past with many of his readers, including Ed Butler, the anti-communist activist in New Orleans. In August 1963, Butler called him with a request. He said he was going on radio to debate a local man about Cuba, and he suspected the young man was a left-wing activist, Methvin told me. He wanted to know if any of my Washington sources could provide some background information about a Lee Harvey Oswald. Methvin was preparing to leave on vacation, but said he called an acquaintance who was an investigator for the House Committee on Un-American Activities, asking that anything he had on Oswald be sent to Butler in New Orleans. When I returned from vacation, there was a thick file on my desk, a copy of what had been sent to Butler, Methvin said. It sat there on my desk for weeks and was still there on November 22nd. Methvin and others in the Reader's Digest newsroom were watching coverage of the assassination when it was announced that police had arrested a young man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Within a minute, the phone on his desk was ringing. "That's him! That's him!" Butler shouted into the receiver, reminding Methvin of the file and his radio debate with Oswald 3 months earlier. Methvin said he glanced up at the folder, then picked it up and headed down one floor in the building to the Associated Press Washington Bureau. Approaching the bureau chief, he asked if he wanted to know who Lee Harvey Oswald was. "The whole world wants to know," the frazzled bureau chief replied. "Here," Methvin said, handing over the file. Within 20 minutes, details of Oswald's Marine Corps career and defection to the Soviet Union were moving across the AP wires.